Church, everything, his voice went completely so much he couldn't preach anymore, and he moved house, got a job, quit the pastor and everything, and he moved to another part, it was in America, and started working, and he was going to another wee church, and one week there was nobody, the Sunday schooler, and they'd give him Psalms to read from, and he started reading it, and he could hardly hear him. It was on a recording, and he went through it for the Lord's delivered my soul from the pit in the different scriptures, and God healed him while he was reading it. It was powerful, really. And he was really overcome by emotion. And I tell you, God is a healer.
Amen.
Thank God for people that believe in healing, and churches that preach healing, because a lot of churches do not preach healing. And even that man said himself, he was a Baptist minister, he said himself that he didn't believe Isaiah 53, that was healing physically. Well, I believe it is.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I absolutely believe it is. Absolutely. But God still healed him.
Yeah.
Now that's a lesson. He didn't even believe that, and God still healed him.
Right.
And you think of James White, didn't even believe in healing. And God gave him the dream for the crucifixion. And he just went out and started practicing it, and people got healed straight away. And he didn't even believe in it. So God's sovereign, isn't it?
Amen.
Let's read James chapter 5, verse 13, 16. It's a well-known portion. And I just want to talk about praying for healing. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick amongst you, let him call the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The affectionate fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God is good, isn't it? Heavenly Father, we just bow reverently before you tonight. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have a great privilege. Because the veil is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the way is made into the holiest of holies. A new and living way where the Shekinah glory came down. Lord, not a partial light, but the light. We thank you that you are the light of the world. And Lord, you give your life for us, a ransom for many. We praise you tonight for salvation and sins forgiven. We ask you'll wash us and cleanse us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. Sanctify us, we pray. And Father, you see every hand that's raised and you know every need. Lord, we just bring each need before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'll meet every single need tonight in Jesus' precious name. I thank you how you've touched my dad. I pray you continue to touch him. Strengthen him to full strength and health. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray again for Nigel's weak girl, complete healing and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, for any others that couldn't be here tonight that need your touch, may you touch them. In Jesus Christ's name. And we pray, Lord, for those perhaps that should have come, but were too busy at other things that they didn't need to be. Speak to their hearts, Lord, and move upon them. Restore the backslidden, Lord, and have your way amongst us in Jesus Christ's name. Bless your word to their hearts tonight, Lord, and encourage and strengthen your people. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me because I need your help, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit's the teacher. And the Holy Spirit's the one that brings the anointing to teach us. We just ask for an anointing and ask for the Holy Spirit to be in our midst tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. First of all, tonight I want to just look, and Matthew will show the different scriptures. You don't have to turn to them all because there's loads of them, but it's just to give an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely Savior, and in the short time he ministered on earth, a lot of people say, we know he was here 33 years old. But the Bible does say his ministry began at 30. It does say that. And it talks about 3.5 years. Now, we know he did other things, but we're told that the main things you read it was after that. But in the 3.5 years, Jesus done so many things that the Bible says if it all was written, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold it. I've heard people say people did more than Jesus, but you remember I read the scripture that nobody could do superior. Maybe more, people say more in the sense because preachers are all over the world everywhere, but it's the Lord that's still doing it. It's no man, it's still the Lord. So if somebody said they did more, it's a false statement. Amen. It's the Lord that done it. Amen. It's Jesus that done it. But Jesus, when he's here on earth, he healed the sick. And he had compassion on the sick. And it was his will to heal the sick. And we have to remember, sin came in the beginning because of disobedience. And because of that disobeying God and breaking God's commandments, sickness came. And there's a remedy for sin. Now, if sin is the cause of sickness originally, and there's a remedy for sin, then the same remedy is for sickness. That's what I believe. Now, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 8, verse 2. The leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me. Now, Jack Coe preached a great sermon from that scripture once. And Jack Coe said that Jesus corrected the wrong theology. If thou wilt, he corrected the wrong theology. If thou wilt, and Jesus says, in the latter part, he says, I will. If you will, and he says, I will. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord says, I will. So people limit God, and they say, if God can. That's a wrong statement. There's no ifs with God, really. There's no such thing as saying, if God done this, if God could do. That's, we might think like that, but that's not in God's thinking. Because God can do anything. It's not if God could do it. This is God that made the universe. This is God that made man. I saw a man in a meeting years ago. I can't remember what meeting it was, way years ago, in a film I had, or a video or somewhere. And he needed a new heart, and the Lord gave him a heart. A brand new heart. God completely healed him. God's able to do it. Praise God. Look at verse 6 of Romans, of Matthew 8. The centurion at Capernaum said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." But the Lord healed him. And you know that Jesus sometimes didn't even need to touch the person. And he didn't even need to pray for them. He just spoke the word. People talk about like a doctrine that dates when the spoken word started. That's none of that's true. Jesus had it.
Amen.
And even before he was here as a man, God had it.
Yes.
It started in Genesis. How many knows that?
Yes.
Spoken. That's where William Branham got the statement from. That's on a lot of the books. Spoken words, the original seed, is from Genesis. Where God said, that's where spoken word began. And Adam had a right, and he lost that right because of disobedience. But through Jesus Christ, we saw the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, all that was brought back. And we have his name. He's given us a name that's above every name. And we can take the name of Jesus and use it and pray for healing, praise God. You look at verse 18 as well in Matthew chapter 9. A centurion ruler worshipped Jesus, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." I tell you, this is only some of the things the Lord did. In verse 20 of Matthew, a woman deceived with an issue of blood 12 years. Now we know there was an issue for 18, but there was 12 as well. Somebody says it's a mistake, it's not. There's no mistakes in the Bible. When you hear people saying there's a mistake there, why does it say, and the same with the loaves and the fishes. Father said one time it was a mistake because there were 7 in one place, 5 in another place. There's absolutely no mistake. Because
no.
One place there was Jews, there was 5. Another place there was Gentiles, 7. And the numbers all meant something. And one time it says a multitude of Gentiles, another it was Jews. No mistakes in the Bible. And you remember, these are only the accounts written for us. There was even more than them. And that the Lord, this is the way the Lord worked. He went about doing good and healing all. They were sick in verse 27 of Matthew 9. Two blind men followed Jesus, crying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." The Lord didn't chase them. The Lord healed them. He healed a woman with a blood issue for 12 years. He raised that weak girl up that was sick. And here's these two blind men, the Lord heals them. Then you read of another blind man, one blind man. And the question was posed, who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus says, neither. Amen. Neither. But this came upon him, that the works of God might be made manifest through him. In other words, God used this as an opportunity to show what he could do. Praise God. I like that.
Amen.
If you go to chapter 15 of Matthew and verse 22, the Syrophoenician woman, a woman of Cana, cried to Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So we talk about deliverance ministries, what it should be like. Here's what they're like. Jesus had a deliverance ministry. That's the ministry he had. Jesus could heal blood issues. Jesus could raise the dead. Jesus could open the blinded eyes. The devils obeyed him. Now you remember all these things, you're saying, yes, that's the Lord. But what about when he said to them disciples, go? What about when he commissioned them even before Pentecost? He commissioned them, and he said, go out. And they went out, and they said, even the devils are subject to what we tell them.
Right.
Amen. And you know the medic fella that wasn't with their group, and he was doing it, and they said, more or less, modern day language, he doesn't belong to our organization, we'll get him stopped. And Jesus says, just leave him alone. Such no one doesn't speak lightly of me if he's casting out devils and doing these things. Amen.
Yes.
The Lord did it, but the disciples did it. And he commissioned them to do it. And they cast out devils. And they did all sorts of wonderful things even before Pentecost. Do you know why? Because the Bible says he breathed on them. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He breathed the very breath of the Spirit on them, give them power. Then he filled them on the day of Pentecost. I tell you, we need, that's where that song comes from. Oh, breath of God, breathe on me. Fill me with life in you, that I might do that thou wouldst do. Praise God. I tell you, when old Oliver Chambers got the accordion going, brother, and started singing that, even on the tapes, still, if any of us have the tapes, you can feel and sense the anointing of God still on them, on the very tapes. The presence of God. And I tell you, the presence of God is wonderful, isn't it? There's no substitute for the presence of God. If you look down to verse chapter 17, verse 15 and 16, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there came a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. And people talk about epilepsy. Well, the night we took my dad to the hospital, that's one of the things they asked him, have you ever suffered from epilepsy? No. But there's people do. That's a devil. The tablets and medicine for it, but it's a devil. Jesus cast the spirit of epilepsy out. But people today are medicating it. Jesus never medicated, he cast it out. Amen. There's devils that need cast out. Did you know there's a thing called the spirit of infirmity? The spirit of infirmity tries to afflict people. That's why it's called the spirit of infirmity. It needs casting out. And the Lord wants us to pray. Pray ourselves. Pray for each other. If you're really sick, call the elders of the church. They'll anoint with oil and they'll pray. And if somebody's committed sins, it says they'll be forgiven. Praise God. God's able to do it. There's no ground for the enemy nowhere. People say, oh, but God's letting him get sick because God's learning him a lesson. God's punishing him. That's telling me then what Jesus done on the cross wasn't enough. Now, the people that think that, I have only one answer for that. If that's true, there's a brave lot of us who were sick at times. You say, oh, I'd never be with you. That's lies. All of us somewhere from we were born to now have sinned and disobeyed God. Isn't that right? Now, if God was going to deal with us after our sin, all of us would be bad. But the Bible says Jesus became sin for us. He took our sin. He bore our infirmities. He took them and nailed them to his cross. The handwriting of ordinance, which against us, that's your commandments. That us, some of us broke them somewhere. Whether it was a lie or looking at someone or any one of them, but some of us broke some of them somewhere. But Jesus nailed them all, everyone to his cross. The handwriting of ordinances was against us. We were guilty. All of us were guilty. But Jesus took it. And God doesn't punish us. You know, if you make a mistake, God will punish you. That would be some way to live, wouldn't it? The Lord will put, you know what I mean? Now, God can't correct his children. We believe that. But I believe there's also spirits of infirmity and they need cast out. And Jesus cast them out. Look at Matthew 20, verse 30. As Jesus departed from Jericho once, two blind men sitting by the wayside heard Jesus pass by and cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thy son of David. He healed so many blind people. I don't know if you saw the testimony from Norway, but there was a sister over there, she's been blind for years, a lifetime. From she's a young girl, God completely healed her. Completely healed her. And she received her eyesight back, completely healed. God done it. God is able to do it. And I tell you, if Jesus ever healed eyes once, he can heal them again. He ever opened the deaf ears, he can do it again. He ever straightened crippled limbs, he can do it again. He is a healer. Praise God. People say it's not important to preach healing. Well, why did Jesus practice it so much? Why did disciples practice it so much? I really believe that a ministry of healing and deliverance, when it's performed under the power of God, can help people believe the Lord for salvation. Many times when people see the real power of God, they believe. Now there's some that won't, but there's some that will. And I tell you, when Jesus was a healer, all these and many other cases are recorded in the gospel were prayers for healing. Some he prayed, some he spoke. Sometimes he touched them, sometimes he never touched them. But the Lord done it everywhere he went, he done it. Now, Jesus Christ is Hebrews 13 and 8, he is. He's the same tonight. But we need to believe him. We need to believe God. And ask God to forgive us our unbelief. And believe God. And exercise the faith muscle. And keep exercising and keep praying. On a number of occasions, multitudes brought their sick people to Jesus. And the Bible says he healed every one of them. John G. Lake's a good example. John G. Lake went to Africa, and the president in a country heard him boasting that everybody could be healed. And he says, right, I'll give you the test. And he brought 100 of the worst wheelchair cases he could find, and he put them on a platform, and he said, on you go, to Lake. But Lake was serious with God. Lake was no joke. Lake was a man of God. Suffered many things, praying. And all of them but one, they say, raised out of their wheelchairs, and the one that didn't, the next day walked. The power of God. He said germs wouldn't even live in his body, he was so anointed with God. And they took him down to somewhere and they put them on him and they died on his hands. Germs, and people were dying everywhere all around him, and it never affected John G. Lake. That's the anointing of God. But he knew God sent him. That's the difference now. So, you know, it wasn't a group of people got together and said, I'll tell you what, we'll college you and send you. He knew God sent him. Yeah. And when God sent him, God was with him. Yeah. Amen. There's a man you don't hear much talk about, but you know the old man Brother Branham was with at the start. Sidney Jackson. A man used to God. You never hear much mention of him, sure you don't. There's men of God that's never mentioned that God used. God's always his man. I guarantee you, there's men tonight God's using we know nothing about. Because God's always on the move. Praise God. Now sickness is a prayer subject of prayer. And James here in verse 13, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. So James, first of all, in verse 13 of James 5, is any of you afflicted, let him pray. So it's God's will to pray. I mentioned the other week when I wasn't long saved years ago and was going up to the farm with John here and used to go to the Elam Church and the Pentecostal meetings years ago. And I remember John said to me, always pray for yourself. And I've been in prayer meetings over the years, I've perhaps done it myself. People pray, I call it via Kara, via India, via Rome. They pray everywhere. But they never hit the nail. God wants us to pray specific prayers. And we sometimes have to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for ourselves in the morning that God will keep us, that God will guide us, that God will help us. Now you can pray for somebody else, that's good, but we need prayer ourselves. Then when we get praying for ourselves, pray for others. Pray for loved ones, pray for families, pray for the brothers, the sisters in the church, and so forth. But God, it's God's will that we pray for ourselves. It's God's will that we're afflicted, we pray. Praise God. I've been needing a touch from the Lord in my body before, where either I've hurt myself or had an injury or something. Sometimes it's been an accident, sometimes it was messing about things that shouldn't have been doing. Now, when I say, you know, like silly things, maybe injure yourself, acting the young fella. You know what I mean? But God can still heal you. Sometimes you have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I was a bit stupid. I shouldn't have done it, and God will still heal you. Amen. Because the Lord knows the heart, doesn't it? Praise God. Like Wigglesworth said one time to a fella, he'd got the cold and Wigglesworth wouldn't pray for him. And he said, why not? He says, because you were going to run about with no coat and no hat on, and it's raining and it's cold. You deserve to have the cold. What did he tell him? He told another man one night, there's a platform that used to have to come up steps over it and down the other side. And he come up, and that was a sack. And then he come up and he chased him. And he said, don't ever come on the platform again. You've no fear. He says, I already prayed for you, God's done it. I don't need to pray for you twice. That's the man of faith he was. But that's the same man that pulled a dead man out of a coffin. And stood him up against the wall 6 times. And he fell 5 times. But the 6th time he lifted him up, he lived. And saw 22 people dead, raised from the dead. That's the same Wigglesworth. That's the power of Jesus. That's what God's able to do. But you see, what the devil tells... You say, why are you talking like that? The devil tells people, you know, maybe it's because you've done this or you've done that, and God's letting it happen, and you're just going to have to stick it. That's nonsense. I don't believe that. Because I believe even if we backslid, even if we do wrong, the psalmist David tells us that if you're willing to repent, God will give, there's mercy. And the blood of Jesus lays there for us. There's mercy with the Lord. Amen. Now we don't go out and do things. We know that. We don't go out and deliberately. If I wouldn't say to Gary, we're going to the pub tonight, we wouldn't do that. But circumstances can happen. And you could get sick or you could hurt yourself. And God can still heal you. No matter what happens. Amen. Thank God he's a healer. Look at verse 14. Is any sick amongst you, let him call to the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's why we try and keep till that. I believe as a fellowship, we have to four things. I know it's right. I have the badge in my other jacket. Savior, healer, baptizer, and the Holy Ghost will come and king. And that's really it. That's really it. And I believe that. And I believe you can lay hands on the sick in Mark 16, or you can call the elders of the church. But when people's sick, they need to get prayed for. And we need prayer meetings. And we need healing meetings. Healing meetings. You hardly ever hear of a healing meeting that. I know of a pastor not far from here. And he went to a certain organization, and I'm not going to name them, but you know who they are. There's a church in them every time. And he went and he preached and he done these meetings. And there's a young fellow was deaf, or a young girl, I can't remember which, but God healed them. And he opened their ear. And as soon as that denomination got a hold of them, they condemned that man, that preacher, and they told him it's absolute nonsense. God doesn't do that today. And you say, well, they preach the gospel, well, they preach a bit of it. They preach salvation, but they leave out all the rest. Now that's not the gospel Paul preached. That's not the gospel Peter preached. They didn't preach like that. They preached all of it. The signs and wonders followed them. But if we are going to deny them, we can't expect them to follow. And if we're going to have faith, must fellowship with faith. There's no point in me going over here. Now I'm not saying over here anywhere. Anywhere at all. But there's no point me trying to have meetings with people that don't believe in healing. If I believe in healing, it'll not work because they won't want it. Now, certainly I'd preach salvation, I'd go in any door I could get the chance. But you can't limit God. Look, when William Branham was meant to go to Switzerland and he couldn't go, And the angel said, they'll be waiting on you to shoot you, you can't go. And Paul Cain went. And I'll tell you what, people hate you ever to mention about that. That Paul Cain went. And they hate you to ever mention Paul Cain at the gift or knowing the secrets of the heart. They never like that mentioned. But it's a fact. It happened. And he went. And when he went, he was only a young fellow, about 20 or 21 years of age, if even he was that. And the police went right, cordoned right round the meetings, and they told him, you're not allowed to pray for the sick. No praying for the sick is banned. They thought it was William Branham coming. And they said, the praying for the sick is banned. And all them policemen got saved in the first service. And the power of God broke loose. And I am telling you, people were healed. There's another man, Brother Hicks, I think it was, and he went somewhere. There's loads of brothers went out, and they saw many saved and healed in the thousands. In the thousands. And you know, there was one case where they came back to the church in Jeffersonville. And they were talking about the message and all these different things. And Pastor Orman Neville went up to him and he said, the first question I want to ask you boys is, did you preach the gospel? And they said, we did. And he said, that's good. Because that is the message.
Amen.
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 And healing's part of it. Thank God for healing. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. He forgives sins. Not that the Lord holds. It's the devil lying to people. He wants to condemn people. He wants to beat you down and batter you down. The sick can pray for themselves, but it's scriptural as well. They call the elders of the church and it says pray one for another. Many other scriptures, and I'm closing now, just in a couple of minutes, and I'm closing. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe for them. If you need a financial miracle, believe God for it. I actually mean believing for it. Pray for it. Believe for it. And if you have a post box at your house, keep checking it till you get it. I'm serious. God will do it. God will do it. And I know what I'm talking about. I know God can do it. And I'm not saying I have money and all that. It's not that, but I know in times I've been in dire straits and need, and God's done it. God has done it. Now I'm going to tell you as a testimony, and you won't know some of the people because they're not here. But I remember I needed a sum of money. And there's another pastor rang me, and he said, I was praying and God led me to you to give you a gift of money. And I said, brother, that's great, that's answered prayer. We're in desperation, we need the money. And he said, that's good, brother. And he told me the sum of money and everything, just what I needed. But he never appeared with it. And he never came with it. I never got it. And the months and the weeks passed, and I had to borrow it from somebody else. And I was that desperate to pay the bill, I had to go and borrow the money. Now God answered my prayer, and God spoke to him and told him, but he never bothered to do it. And then eventually he came, but he came about 3 months too late. I'd borrowed the money. When God leads us to do something, if God's leading us to do something, we need to do it. And I'll tell you, God can do it. I know God could have spoke to somebody else. I believe that. And they could have did it. But God told him to do it and he never done it. He did come, but he was a bit late. He came 3 months late. He apologized and says, brother, I forgot about it. I'm late. But God spoke to him about it. He said God spoke to him about it. God's able to do it, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. John 14:14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. That word anything certainly would cover healing. The body, wouldn't it? Anything. Ask anything. Now there's no restrictions in there saying, now you only can ask for salvation, but you cannot ask for anything. It doesn't say that. It says anything. Amen. Lord, the car has not gone too well. I need another car. Ask him for it. Do you think God can't do it? I'm telling you tonight, he can do it. I believe God could get you a car if you want a car. If you needed a car, I know what I'm talking about. God's done it for me before. I know a man needed a car, and another man gave him a car. I know loads of testimonies like that. For somebody gave somebody else a car, they're praying they needed a car, and God gave them it. God's able to do it. I told you one time about a car I gave away. Now, I didn't give a car away that was worth 50 quid. I gave a Mercedes away. A Mercedes car was worth thousands of pounds. I sold a lot, sent the money to the man in need. It was thousands of pounds. And that's just true. And I was paying another car. And the way I looked at it was, I'll pay this other car on a finance, and I'll sell that one that I paid and saved to get it, because he can't do that, the man that needs it, but I can. So I'll do it. And I done it. And a man came to my house the next day, and he said to me, how much finance do you own that car there? And you know how much it was? 7,000 or more. And he said, it'll be in your bank tomorrow. And my wife sitting there, she knows this is the truth. I was £500 in the red. And I sold the car, gave it all away, every penny of it. I made a vow to God and I'd done it. The next day, the money was into the car, plus the 500 on top, what I never mentioned about, till the man. I was preaching in a church, my wife knows this is right, preaching in a church. Was asked to go and preach, took meetings, went and preached, took meetings, told the testimony, and at the end of the service, they never gave me a penny. Now, I wasn't going for money, but they decided, because I told them this testimony, that I was giving the money for the car, they didn't need to give me anything. Now that's not God, but the man that gave the money, that was God. Now he didn't give me the money. I wasn't rich that I had all that in the bank. I paid the car with it. I paid the car off. The money he sent me paid the other car I had. It was debt free. I paid it. And I couldn't understand that thinking that he thought, well, he doesn't need anything. He's testified that he got all that money and he doesn't need anything. Now, whether I needed anything or not, if I was a millionaire tonight, I'd still have to pay tithes. Because that's God's money, not mine. So you see, when we do it right, God will do it right. God will bless us. But I'm telling you tonight, God can do it for you, whatever you need. I don't know why I'm saying these things. But I'm feeling led to say them. God can meet your need, I don't care what it is. Amen. God is able to do it. We need to believe God. There's no challenge. I think we think, you know, maybe it's too hard for the Lord. Maybe not a fit to do it. Well, that's the wrong concept. God can do absolutely anything. Let's pray, and I want you to believe tonight. Don't be afraid to pray for healing. I know we do. I know we believe that. I know that. We believe them things. And I do believe salvation is the utmost important thing. But as believers and saved people, we can believe for healing. And God wants us to heal. And he wants us to pray for others. Maybe somebody can get sick. And maybe they are living right. It doesn't mean because somebody's sick there's some big thing wrong. Look at Job. God permitted it. But it was the devil that brought it. God never brought it. But I can assure you, he removed it. Amen. Storms. The devil brought the storms, but God removed them. Amen. And I tell you, even like a brother Andrew preached, even if it's a storm that is from our own devices, and he showed us God can still deliver us. Amen. That's a good God is. Praise God. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thank and praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've never changed. Lord, you're not a miserable God or a miser, and you're definitely not an Indian giver. But you said you'll give it pressed down, running over the top. All the silver and gold's yours, Lord. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, you're the one tonight that made this world and all that therein is. You're Almighty God. We glorify you. We praise you. We magnify your name. And we say, great things the Lord have done for us. We're offered glad. We should have fallen. We should have been cast down. But we thank you that you lifted us up from the merry clay and you set our feet on the King's highway. You redeemed your life from destruction and truly from the pit. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. You said, forget not all thy benefits, who forgive us all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Truly, Lord, your name's wonderful. And truly, Lord, we ought to praise you and magnify your lovely name, Lord Jesus. Father, we do ask this evening again for the needs in this room, whether it's financial or physical, that you will meet the need, the financial miracle. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And maybe someone, Lord, needs a good vehicle. Lord, what is it to you? It's nothing. We call for it. We ask for it. For the manifestation of the promised word of God to come upon your own children. You're our heavenly Father. And you say, beloved, that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul does prosper. And Lord, you said if your children ask you bread, you won't give them a stone. How much more will you give us the things we desire, Lord Jesus? Lord, we know above all we desire to see our family saved, our friends saved, our loved ones saved, brothers and sisters saved. Think of my own brother David tonight. Lord, I pray you'll speak to that man. Pray you'll move on him. Pray you'll convict him. Pray the Holy Spirit begin to work upon him. We send the Holy Ghost by faith. We say, move upon him, Holy Spirit. Convict him of sin and righteousness. Bring the word of God to his remembrance. Bring some of his remembrance, Lord, from his youth. Oh God, that'll speak to them, that'll move them, and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ's name. He plead the blood of Jesus upon him. Lord, I curse the spirit of iniquity over him. I curse the alcoholic spirit. I come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you make the drink bitter to his taste. The cigarettes bitter to his breath. Lord, that he not want to drink them. Lord, or smoke them no more. In Jesus' precious name. Set him free, Lord, and deliver him in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your hand will be mighty upon my dad. Lord, that you'll really touch him and strengthen him to full health, full strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, for any others that need your touch, we think of Timothy tonight. We pray for Timothy, you'll strengthen him, that you'll bless him, strengthen him in the inner man, speak a word into his innermost being tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Raise him up in strength and in health, Lord, and vitality in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless every one in this service, from the youngest to the oldest, every child that's ever sat over these meetings. All the wee boys and girls, Lord, that faithfully say their verses on a Sunday, will you bless them? Will you save every one of them? Will you cover them with your blood, Lord, and make preachers and singers out of them in Jesus' precious name? And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Bless your word even tonight to our hearts. Amen. Help us to follow your commandments. Help us to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Lord, we know you're a miracle worker. And we acknowledge that you've never changed. And we confess you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're expecting the miracle we need, whether it's in our homes, financial or physical. We're looking to you. For Lord, we believe you tonight that you're able to do it. Lord, just prosper your people and bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just let's keep in prayer.